Shake their hand, tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. There'll be an usher at the back of the offering plate if you have opportunity to give. And just take a few moments and greet one another as we sing.
Oh my God, he is my God.
upstairs, the youth class. Congregation, you may be seated just for a few moments to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This coming Sunday morning, I'm going to have a special guest minister, Brother Brent Bozeman. We had to do a little, I know we announced him being here last Sunday, but they had to do a, you might want to turn this down a little bit, it's ringing pretty bad up here. They had a little schedule conflict at the church in Joliet, and so they had to kind of redo the thing. Is there something wrong? Am I not doing it? Oh, okay. I was getting signals from out there like something was up, so I don't know if a flag was being thrown or what was going on. So Brother Bozeman will be with us during our 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning, speaking for us therein. And so we encourage you to come, be a part of that. And then Sunday night at 6 o'clock, because we had so many out, sickness, and so many that were to be a part of the share session on Sunday night, instead of just having two short sessions or partial sessions, I said, let's just move everything over to the 28th. So this coming Sunday night at 6 p.m., all those that were scheduled either for the 21st, which was Sunday, or this coming Sunday, the 28th, we'll try to pack you all in during that time. So it may run a little bit longer than normal, but I think you're okay with that rather than, you know, trying to do just two partial sessions. So we will have our share session on Sunday night, and looking forward to that, and a great time of people sharing the word. And we still have plenty of opportunity for people to share the word, so just so you're aware of that. It's out there, and also to share your story, and then obviously share your talent. And so encourage you to be a part of that. Sign up sheet is at the back. We want you to continue to be in prayer concerning the transition here at the church. We do have some candidates and a possibility of those coming to try out here in the near future. So didn't want to keep you in limbo. Want to let you know things are progressing, things are happening. Not at liberty to give you any details at this point, but do want you to know that there are things going on, resumes being submitted, that sort of stuff. So we're encouraged by that. We want to take some knees of the Lord in prayer. I do want you to continue to remember to pray concerning that transition. Pray for, especially for Brother Spann, Brother Craig, and Brother Kellum as church board trustee members. They have a lion's share of the duty when it comes to that. And I am submitted to them and their wishes in relation to all of that and mine and my family's involvement. So just know that from all aspects of what's happening in the transition. Continue to pray for that. I also ask you to please remember my mother in prayer. She went into today for full knee replacement. And so there's a time of recovery. I got a message from my father. Everything was, the surgery went very well. So they're encouraged by that. But obviously now the physical therapy and all the recovery that happened. So I would ask that you would remember my family in prayer. Remember the Day family. Continue to remember them in prayer. Sister Holly Day still battling some issues and really not sure completely what they're dealing with. We know the great physician. We know the one who is able. Also, Brother Day just in very poor health, not doing well at all. So Sister Day is having to basically not only care for Brother Day, but then try to visit Holly as well. So just especially pray for Sister Day. She just has a load. Not only that, her mother is in ill health. And so just all those things surrounding her life, as you can imagine, she is under quite a strain, quite a heavy load. And so we ask that you would pray for her. If you, Lord, lays it upon your heart to help with Sister Holliday's medical expenses, all you need to do is just submit it to the church in an envelope. Just write Sister Holliday on it. We'll know what to do with it. And so we thank you for that. But anybody else have a prayer request you want to bring to the church? Why don't you slip your hand, Sister Chrissy? Goodness. All right. Yes. All right. Certainly. But Sister Davis? Goodness. Certainly. Certainly. Anybody else? Sister D and then Sister Kel. All right, job situation there, all that to go smooth, certainly. Just come. Sister Graham? Yes, yes, the church there, William Silvis Apostolic Sanctuary, they are in transition as well, and so continue to pray for them, certainly, and obviously the connections there with David and Jessica Romero, so that's certainly something worthy to pray about. So why don't you stand? We're going to pray, and then Brother Davis is going to come to teach tonight, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're so thankful we have another opportunity to be here in your house to bring these needs before you in prayer. Lord, there is no need too big or too small, God, no situation or circumstance, Lord, that does not warrant your involvement, Lord. So we ask, God, we invite you, Lord, to work in every situation and circumstance. Lord, we ask in faith, believing that you have all power in heaven and earth, and it is your will that your kingdom go forward. Lord, let us be, God, but vessels, Lord, recipients of your will to be displayed in our hearts and lives. God, we thank you for the opportunity to walk in word and deed and how we live, God, and all manner of conversation. Lord, we lift up the day family in prayer, Lord. So many health issues, God, so many questions surrounding those situations, Lord. And we ask you, God, be a strength, the doctor's wisdom dealing with Holiday, God, that they would be able to diagnose completely and help, God, and administer healing. Although ultimately we know you're able, God, and we trust in you. We don't put trust and faith in things, God. We put our faith and trust in you, Lord, for Brother Day and his failing health. God, we ask you, Lord, that you would help Sister Day as she deals with all the circumstances of life and the pressures and the stress. God, we ask that the brothers and sisters would be an encouragement and a strength to her in a time of need for this Bobby Smith, the Lady of Aurora, who lost two children, God, in tragic situations. Lord, you, only you, God, can speak peace into a hardened life, a situation, God, for those that having issues at work, God, or need your divine assistance, God, in making things, God, work as they should. We believe in you. We trust in you, Lord, for family members, we cry out, God, for my mother, Lord, help, God, be a strength, let her recovery be speedy, God, let her attitude be right, God, in relation to her recovery, Lord, we thank you, we honor you, we praise you, God, we give you glory for who you are and what you do. Minister in this house tonight, let your word come forth, touching our hearts and lives, God, ministering to us in a mighty way. We love you, Jesus, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together and applaud the Lord for his goodness as Brother Davis comes at this time.
And everybody said, praise the Lord. You may be seated just for a few moments. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And the last couple of weeks have been a little challenge to me. We get to have things so easy. I'm sure that I told you that when I first went to Winfield, that something had happened to my computer and I lost 40 years of my work, you know, during that time. And now I have to work again. You know, I thought, well, if I could just redo those everywhere you go, things would be great. And so I'm going to kind of go down a little different paths and I've been used to in the last few years, and just tried to speak to us as a church and things that we need and things that God wants to do. And so I'm going to share with you tonight and believe God with you. Let's just ask the Lord to bless us and keep us as we've been doing. And I saw Sister Holly last night, and I know that she is seemed to be showing a lot of things that is getting better. They don't know exactly what it is right now. They're kind of more concerned about finding out what really happened to her. They don't have an answer on that yet. But she bombarded me with a lot of questions. Amen. And she was sick. Amen. So in this time of rebuilding and renewing in our church and bringing in men to minister to us and find out which one, whether we have the one in order in line yet, we don't know. Nobody will. I'm sure God will make that decision for us. That's our prayer. Amen. And let's keep God in all that we do. And with that, a little greeting, I'm going to ask you to stand. Brother Jay, I forgot to give you my scriptures, and so as I read them, I'll give you a pause to where maybe you can just deal with me. Galatians 5, 1 through 7 is where we'll spend most of our time going back to and looking at. But I'm going to begin reading with Acts 20. and 22 through 24. Paul, of course, preaching, and he says, "Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. Now none of these things move me, neither do I count my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel and of the grace of God." Then in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and we will stop at verse 7, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, for the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify against every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, and whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through him, or through the Spirit, wait for the hope and the righteousness of faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you, a man, that you should obey the truth?" Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Verse 1 tells us in Galatians chapter 5, and it starts off with a word called stand. Amen. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again into the yoke of bondage." And so our thought is going to be upon that the Apostle Paul, in a number of the epistles that he wrote, the messages that he gave, he was concerned about people standing. That does not always mean that we stand around for nothing. But what it means is that when we have things that we need God's help with, amen, in our walk with God, in our walk against the world, if we can put it in that way, it is very important that we stand and that we stand tall. Amen. And of course, part of that is just kind of having in our head and in our mind a willingness and a desire that I am going to make it no matter what comes my way. Amen. And whatever tries to afflict me, Paul already has the reputation amongst many churches that he is just under a lot of afflictions. And I'm sure that's why he was praying for things. So Paul, though not a big man, he was yet a very strong man and was able to stand through many things that you and I would not be able to make in ourselves. And so we're going to talk about this standing our ground. Amen. There are things that God has put in our hands, amen, that it has to be us to see that those things do not falter, they do not fall apart, amen, that things don't go haywire. And whether it's somebody that is attacking us or somebody that's criticizing us, it's important that we just make up our mind that this is where my position's going to be in life. This is where my position's going to be in the church, and that is standing. Now, that's not the only place that we'll find God using things like this, but Paul just seems to be addressing this fact in the life and of the Galatians and talking to them. I'm sure when you read that last verse, "You did run well, and who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" We can ask that question to a lot of people in a lot of ways. Amen. What hindered you? What stopped you? You know, there was a time that when I would visit some young people, for many of us, that first wave of young people, and Sister Kellen would remember this because they were concerned about the well-being of Ron and Janie and Wayne, you know, what would happen to them. And I understood that as just being a legitimate cause, and that's really what happened. I don't think there was any struggles or anything there, but he was concerned about his children. And we ought to be, and there ought to be a way, though, that there are times within our lives that when those things come, that we want our children to make good decisions. And they're not going to make good decisions by people who do not have, amen, a church that has good standability. Amen. And I don't know if that's a word or not, but, you know, amen. But we got to be able to stand. Amen. We will be tested. We will be frustrated. We will have those bad days. We will have glorious days. We'll have days of healing. Amen. The Lord causes that sun to rise upon the just and the unjust. Amen. And the clouds to gather over, and no matter which way it is, we know that God is working in us. So where we stand positionally, if I can say that, in our walk with God, we've got to understand that we are not made, none of us are made and created and empowered by the Spirit of God to do nothing. You know, I really get kind of tired, and I'm probably going to forget where I go tonight, and I just to say this, but there are just so many things in our world today to where I'm getting a little frustrated, because it just seems like that the church world, the religious world, I don't think it's the true church, amen, just seem to be having a hard time grasping anything that takes them out of the norm of life. Amen. It is there, and, you know, their dress, their conversation, amen, verbally and non-verbally, amen, that comes across in their lives. It is in a world today to where I would hate to be somebody in the church today or in the world today that comes to the realization that I need to get right with God, not be able to find a church that would really be able to teach them something that will help them stand. Something that will help them keep on keeping on. Amen. And who was the man that sang the song of Keep On Keeping On? He would come home to his home church, and there would be a chair, and she'd ask him how he's doing. He said, fine. And she said, well, you keep on keeping on. Carlton Pearson, right. And so anyway, when he said that, it just became funny. But there was people in that church, this old lady especially, says, well, man, I know that when we read in the book, it says in 5 and 7 of Galatians, it says, you did run well. You did run well. I want to know who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth. I think we could take that first word and say that you, what hindered you from standing, amen, in a place to where you can help, amen, the church to exist, as well as help yourself and find a place to where you stand. And so this stand is not just standing for anything. It's a kind of a stand of strength. Amen. It's a persuasion of his mind. It's something that has him focused upon what God wants him to be, or what God wants her to be, to the place to where all of this, you know, stuff that goes on in our world today, and I'll be honest with you folks, amen, the UPC has got too much, amen, of that within it. Amen. And I'm not saying I'm talking about our church. I love our church. I appreciate our church. Amen. When I see my church, I don't want to, you know, kind of go away from them. We have a church, I think, that people can enjoy bodies when we go out to restaurants or other things that we do. We need to understand that really our calling is in God. Amen. To do our will and let no man hinder us. Amen. And come to the place to where we know that it's our position to stand. Amen. And be firm. Amen. Christian life involves movement. We are taught in the Word of God, and I will just speak these in general words. It says that walking with the Lord, growing in Christ, running the race, fighting for God, or fighting any battle that we would go through. There's not anything that really talks to us. We would think, well, now we're standing and we're walking and we're fighting and running. Amen. Once you're right, they're all right. If the Bible says that there is a way within the Scripture, that equally comes together to where God knows whatever position it is that we need to be in, to be there and let him guide us and keep us, amen. And no matter what we can say, I'm standing strong. I might be on my knees, but in my position of ability, I, amen, am strong. And I'm going to stand strong and stand for God. To do that, we've got to stand confidently. Amen. And this is a thing that can happen anybody in their walk of life, to where they allow the place to where, you know, they're losing their confidence. How many has ever lost your confidence? Once? How many ever lost your confidence more than once? I mean, it's kind of one of those things where you just feel like, well, you know what, I just don't know what's going on here, that I don't feel right, I don't feel confident. You'll see guys, especially little league ball players, they all have their uniforms on. Amen. Many of them put that black stuff under their eye. They're just 7, 8 years old. Or else lack of confidence and be afraid to do anything. But confidence is something, amen, that God has told us, you know, that we need to keep, amen, and that we need to practice in. And so it's in our confidence that we, amen, excel, that we learn, that we grow, amen. And so the Lord is now, through Paul, addressing this, amen. Galatians 5:1 says this, or talks about this. It focuses upon overcoming oppression from those who challenge our faith. A new believer's first test of standability is when he goes home, amen, to critical friends and family. Similar to the seed that falls upon the stony ground, amen, many people lose their tenacious, amen, stand when they fall away under this kind of pressure. If we think back over the years of in a church, amen, how many here could just, in 1 minute's time, not going to ask you to do it, but come up with 5 people that you know in the area that's a part of this church but haven't been here a long, long, long time. I mean, we have them out there as, you know, one of the things that happens in that case, you see these people in Walmart or someplace like that, and they'll ask you, are you still, amen, are you still practicing the way you've always practiced and believing what you've always believed, and amen, and many times it's people that have left the church and gone somewhere else, and it would be like us, we would have the place of Paul, says, you know, what happened to you? Where did you lose it? Amen. Well, I like it there. Amen. I like it there too, probably. But it is not really standing in tune with the Word of God. Amen. And so God is telling us, if you're going to be blessed, you're going to have to stand very confident. Amen. You might have confidence in other areas, but thank God, you know, what do we have to have in this relationship with our Lord? Amen. Why can't we just do what we really want to do? My mom, I fell on my bicycle one time and it tripped over it, and I said, "Dad, she said, who told you that?" I said, "Mr. Cussinger. He cusses all the time, amen. Whenever he does, some little thing drops on the floor and he'll make a swear word, and amen." And so he was, you know, coming over to us, and there is things like that that we always have to watch. And so we want to do this. Beyond mere intimidation, believers may face the outright persecution of co-workers and ridicule them. An employer might prevent them from their advancements. Jesus says, "They shall persecute you because they persecuted me." And he would tell us that the church is persecuted, amen, because it has to stand. I think of some of these people, whether you bake a cake or, amen, a part of Chick-fil-A, and they get all kinds of criticism because they are violating what people want. They want them to be open on Sunday. When I came to Sandwich, amen, these stores and restaurants were open all through the holiday. Mom and Dad, I think we moved in up here over Thanksgiving. My dad and I just got in the car because they needed some milk, and so we drove to, you know, Arts, and it was closed, and another little station was down the road, and it was closed, and we went to Plano, and their stores were closed, and we got to Yorkville, and their stores was closed, and we finally found a place. A lot of things have changed in this short of time, and it has to concern us, because when we think of our posture, our place in Christ, amen, we've got to have something that is stable. God is stable. God is consistent. God is powerful. God is our Savior, amen, not only in that direct salvation, but keeping us saved. He wants us to stand. He wants people to see things that are familiar. We're in a world today that wants people to come in and see our liberty. And we talked about that or read about that in the scripture, and we will deal with that a little bit later. But a part of that is that we have to stand consistently, amen, not confidently alone, but consistently. We've got to go through the same thing. And there is the potential of some things that would happen in that time, amen, that we would stand consistently and be consistent in our walk with God and everything else. Amen. We do more to just stand against something. We must also stand for something. We stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. There are some things in the scripture that we ought not to ever let go. I remember when people would be filled with the Holy Ghost. I know this still happens because I saw it not overly that long ago. Not enough of it being happening today. But well, when the Spirit of God is moving and people are being overwhelmed by the power of God's Word, those people are living in a place to where they have a life beyond, amen, this consistent life, amen, that is not just against things, but it's for things. The key of our church is really those things that we are for that become a blessing. Amen. It is God that gives us the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so we can look back, and I know I told you about this young man at Wheaton, and it's the last time I seen something like this, and he got the Holy Ghost and probably spoke in tongues for about 45 minutes, a good young man, a good young family that God saved. Not that he just saved them from their sin, but he saved them from the whole family. And they had two or three kids and problems in that, strike that as condemning. I strike this hopefully as being something positive, amen. But she got the Holy Ghost first, amen. And Greg came and got the Holy Ghost, and what it was, as soon as she had this baby that was in her womb, he was going a different way, and her family was going to go a different way. And I'm glad that God gave him such a strong experience because of the fact to where the things that he went through. And so he spoke in tongues for not just two or three words or syllables or even two or three minutes. It was probably 40, 45 minutes just speaking in tongues. And he fell to the floor when he got up. Amen. He had to say, wow. Actually, he said something that would go, it would probably question you a little bit. There were people that had questions. I thought he got the Holy Ghost. And I said, he did. Just wait. You know, and find out what goes on here. Because he says, man, that was holy. Every law and every restriction, and those are things that, of course, that we practice or we don't practice, that we preach against. Amen. And so anyway, that whole life was spared. It inspired me. Amen. To see this, it's got to keep happening. That's what I miss. Sister Holly in her room last night was asking me questions. But Davis, you know, and it wasn't our church. It's a lot of churches. We can take it, amen, or leave it. But there's things that we don't. Should not have that attitude for. We want it. We want to keep it. We want it to stay here. Amen. We want people to be attracted by the power of the Holy Ghost and not by the pleasure of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I believe both are great there. We stand out to share our joy and love and peace. We stand in His power to be a witness in our home and in our family, our neighborhood and our whole city. We stand to declare boldly that truth is in Jesus. Amen. And in the life of Jesus and in the word of Jesus. And of course, it's through that we find ourselves looking into the scripture and trying to understand doctrine and learning what is right and learning what is wrong. And we're receiving that not just to have the potential. I know a lot of people that read the Bible. we ought to know that part of our standability is going to come from God being able to keep us there and us submitting ourselves to His will. Amen. I have put a couple things down here that are probably self-evidences of, and you can think along with me because I'm sure you all have this story, that when I went to Bible school, they had a number of the boys from Bible college there. I think there's 13 or 14 of us there. And in my first year, because our wash machine had, our car wash had shut down, and we got a all new facility. And in that time, we had to shuttle our cars a little bit of distance. And so there was a number of them there. And I remember there were times, and I was standing. I wasn't talking a lot when it came to deal with some of the men there, because to be honest with you, there was more bickering amongst some married men and women, or married men, a man working at Hertz, that kind of embarrassed me. And it came down to where, when the next hiring process went through, my job was saved, and Gordy Pitchell's job was saved, and we were working at Hertz, and one of those laws was, and I know you never can't imagine somebody saying this, but you know what? He says, you cannot talk religion on the job. You're going to have to work. We don't want to see you standing there either agreeing or that, but we just can't afford. I can see where somebody would have. It would be the same thing as saying you can't talk baseball anymore. You know, if you talk baseball, you wait till you're on your own time. Well, that's really hard when you're a Cardinal fan. Very strong temptation. And so anyway, in this deal, it was my third year, and it pretty well had dwindled down to myself. And one night, about 10 o'clock at night, we'd had all the cars washed up. We got off at 11 o'clock. My boss came into the room, and we started talking. Everybody on my shift came into that room, amen, and in the same way was going to just bombard me with questions. And have you ever been in one of those places to where it seems like that what you're trying to speak and what you're trying to think of is just always right there? That doesn't always happen to me. But there are some times that when you know that God is in something, that God's presence is there, and I could tell that by the questions that they were asking and the things that they were wondering, that there was a presence there that was really looking into their lives, amen, and maybe starting to understand some of the things of God, those first things that we would hear of God. And so I had that there. And then in the coal mines, I had an experience to where a miner that runs the big machine was coming up against the face of the coal, taking that off, and it would go onto my buggy, and I would help. Well, this guy was I hit that, and Smokey got a little mad. And he just didn't let it go quickly. He let it go for a long time. Amen. And he just kept cussing and swearing, and that's what he was doing. Amen. And one of the laborers that was back by me and my little seat on my buggy, they call it, says he was about ready to go up and I think talk to this guy about saying something. But anyway, I told him, I said, no, I said, just it's fine. Next day I come back to work and somebody says, hey, John, which is what they called me in the mines, and that's what they called my dad, but they called me John J.D. Jr. And so I was there, and of course those guys got, if you've ever been around a coal mine, they have a lot of things, you know, that they're going to be talking about. And so these guys were by the shaft that would take us down, and probably 15 people there talking and sitting around, and says, what did you think about Smokey? I said, I think Smokey would have been a great preacher if he just changed his vocabulary. And they laughed about it too. And when they told Smokey laughed. And you know what? That's where really the turn, just that little word that was, you know, kind of associated him with a preacher, amen, broke that whole wall down, that barrier down, to where these men, when I left, bought me a Bible, they bought me a cake. Amen. They gave me some things from the mines and sent me on my way, and they came to my wedding. So anyway, when we're dealing with that, they came to my wedding, And the thing that offended them more than anything else I ever saw was a guy that I took to work every day and didn't charge him a thing because he had a wife and a couple of kids. Amen. And on Friday, the mines called that they were going to work, and my crew, not a one of them showed up to work. But the guy that I was doing this favor for months, not just a day or two, did not come. And I, personally, I never realized it until they said something about it. And I'm thinking, you know, I never thought, I didn't even realize that he wasn't there. It was so impressive. We went to Nashville. We were going to go to Lake Geneva, and then it got too cold and nasty. So what are we saying, Brother Davis? It's just something that our life, we have to think of our life as something that has to make an impact upon this world, and we're going to stand on that truth. Amen. It's not about being lazy. It's not about getting up and getting going. It's about trying to do our very best, not preaching every time we go into a restaurant, but at least wanting to be open and able to receive a truth or a door that would open that you can touch somebody else. I never forget when somebody knocked on my door and says, hey, I want you to know, and he knew I was Pentecostalist. He says, there's a Lloyd Gordon that's in town, and I went to see this guy. He was sick, and he says, I think he's of your faith. You need to go talk to him. Became my first Bible study. Amen. And those things happen because of the fact that we have to realize something's got to stand between us. And I know they're the guilty in some ways, but yet as far as their walk with God, there's a lot of older people that are innocent before God. And when I say that, their innocence is that they don't know anything about God, and they need somebody that just brings that message to them because of the fact that God has told us to stand confidently, consistently, amen, and continually. Consistently means that you're always taking this same thing and believing in it, amen, and continually means that you never stop doing it. God did not give us a salvation that we were supposed to stop. It was all about go. It was all about doing. It was all about working. It was all about standing. It was all about God doing something in our lives that gave us liberty. Liberty is a good thing. Hallelujah. Amen. And it comes into our life at a time to where they're wanting to come and I have to make sure I've got everything ordered. And that liberty that we can do things in God and feel freedom and feel power. None of these things move me, Paul said. I'm not concerned about all you folks are concerned about. Amen. I've got my focus on heaven and my focus on God and focus on the Word. Amen. And my light is focused upon the world that I live in. And he was a man that they accused of turning the world upside down. He and the apostles, amen. Why was that, Brother Davis? Because they had tremendous liberty that came their way, and it continued with them. The biggest mistake we ever do is lacking the ability to continue. Are questioning that. Do I really want to go through with this? We probably say we were pretty close to quitting. Maybe not all of you. There are some angels here probably. Amen. But there, you know, and it's a long time ago. You get beyond that, and there's a time. You know what? Can't lose the consistency of it. Just because we want to dress right and go to the right church and have the right doctrine, amen, and not do anything with it, not rejoice in it, and not have your delight in the law of the Lord. You know, delight is something people, amen, are needing today, amen, so that we can do these things in God. God is a rewarder. Amen. I still like that in the back of our minds, we need to plant on there about our liberty that God has given to us. 1 John 2 and 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of this world. And didn't know it. All right? And so the Lord tells us, and I quote this to people all the time, all there is in the world, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth, amen, forever. We're not on a little vacation. We are on a life's journey, amen, from here to glory, amen, to constantly and always. It's amazing how many chances and opportunity comes up to us, amen, even with the people that Brother Davis works with in Wheaton when I'm there, amen, people that are you could tell, they're just empty when it comes about God. The lust of the flesh is a constant lure. It's something that abides in us, maybe not always in the same way. But there is something in our life that it's just a part of the, if it's there, you're standing. I'm against it. I'm not submitting to it. I'm not succumbing to it. Amen. It's a constant lure of our flesh. It's the lust of the eyes, the world's beauty and glamour. Amen, our focus through that. The pride of life, the gain of godliness, amen, and the popularity that is in this world, I should say, and godliness, and the things that they're going through, like money. It's all about doing something great. It's always about a selfie, amen. Somewhere along the line, you need to take that phone and start making some self pictures of the scripture. Or selfies that need to be sent to somebody else. There's too much time that's spent upon, amen, the idea that, you know, I question people that want to take their picture all the time. They're not as good as anyone else. Picture taken not long ago, I went. They had the camera on me. I wasn't going to let the whole world leave. They would be so much in envy of me. That's not right. Self-righteousness will cause us to rely on ourselves rather than to rely on Christ. There is a self-righteous attitude that is able to destroy. Philippians 3:3 says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." That flesh is one of those things that we have to run away from. Flesh is bad. Well, especially if you do not keep it in subjection, in submission. If you don't take a stand and say, there's some things I cannot treat my body and show my body that way to my friends or to the world. I cannot curse anywhere. And the same with that. We come to the place to where these are things that have no confidence in the flesh because, amen, we understand where they will lead us to. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, 3:8-9, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. I had an old woman on my paper route that read her Bible every day. And I was so impressed when I went in there, you know, I was going to find this woman. They lived in a dump. And next to the dump was a dump. And that's where she kept her spittoon. And she could cuss like a sailor. But she did know the Bible. You're talking about a waste. Amen. To have that knowledge and that ability. Amen. And to think that, you know, I'm all right because I read the Bible. But she does nothing. She didn't take time to save herself or anybody else that was around her, and she was very rough. And I will always remember that on my paper route because once I took my journey into that house, I never wanted to go close to it again. Yea, doubtless I can't count all things, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as dung. That's number two. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, amen, but that which through Christ, amen, the righteous which is of God by faith. When the Lord comes to our lives, he doesn't want us to be miserable. We might go through misery, but we don't have to be miserable. We don't have to be mean. Even if somebody cuts us off, I know you would never do that. Just get a little aggravated. That's a hard one. It really is. And I'm just always glad if pulled out in front of somebody. Because I knew I was wrong. And then when I know they're wrong, if they don't do that, I probably get on their case a little bit. But we have this righteousness, amen, which is of the law, but which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is God, amen, by faith. And so we have to stand consistently, continually. You know, you can, you know, they say it's like earning somebody's respect. Comes. You know, when we come, it was almost as if that we hold those things so tight, amen, and try to just cling to them and afraid to do anything with it. God gave you something to do with. I still think it goes back to Acts, amen, when we are challenged, amen, that when the Spirit has come upon you, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you're going to be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Salmon, Leland. Who knows? But we've got to come to the place to where we realize we were not in this to be wishy-washy. We were to have a part of a something we can stand on that was a foundation that is sure. And our body is set in a posture where it's going to keep its confidence. Amen. It's going to fight those battles. Amen. It's going to stand there, amen, today, and you know it's going to be there tomorrow. Ever seen saints like that? Isn't it nice to see a saint that you might go back 30 years later and they're still there? I said the other day, I'm not going to raise a fight about saying, well, I love my church. But I know one thing, my God is so much higher than my church. Without God, amen, the church would not be there. The saints would not be there. The power would not be there. But because it's of God, I want to love God. Because otherwise, I'm going to relegate my thrills, you know, going to a ball game. And those things, I'm not drawing a description of what they are. For a reason. They're really nothing. I talked to someone the other day, and I think it's a shame also that we're living in a world where, today you got to go two blocks at the most to get a gallon of milk. And those other things that are out there that we look at, we got to understand that, you know, people, they say it's changed. I hear a lot of people say, I want something new. I want something fresh. And every time Israel needed something new and something fresh, they had to turn around and look backwards because they came out of freshness. They come out of a trial, and they had a remembrance, and that remembrance gave them great revival, and God restored them, and God rebuilt them. Amen. It's nothing wrong with being a little old-fashioned. Hallelujah. I don't know how far it's going to go. It just... The other day was told by my sister that Jim and Sheila are going to church for a while and just got to the place that said nothing there. And there's not really a whole lot there unless you're looking for fun. Anybody can come up with some fun, but using your talents to reach the world that we're living in is imperative that they do that for God. Let's stand together. Praise your name. Heavenly Father, we love you. And God, we're so glad that you love us. You deserve our very best. Hallelujah, Lord. You deserve our faithfulness. You deserve our continuity. Lord, our consistency. Hallelujah, Lord. We need to be there for you as you're always there for us. And when we walk together, God, and we operate in that way, we know that we feel the presence of God, the love of God, the power of God, amen, the one that is the way maker and the one that is actually able to bless every aspect of our life. Lord, anoint us as we go out of this building tonight, and anoint us when we wake up in the morning. Let us find somebody that is needing help and needing hope and needing somebody with the power of God and a revelation of who Jesus Christ really is, that we might pray for them, and Lord, that we might lead them into your presence, God, amen, where there's fullness of joy. Hallelujah. At your right hand, where there's pleasures forevermore. Lord, this is a place where you want to bless. Amen. Lord bless you. You're done.